Hey, this is Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net. You are about to hear the ProWrestling.net live show. I just want to give you a heads up that we had some technical difficulties early, so the first 2-3 minutes will be a little choppy sounding, but it does get better once we get John Moore on the line and I resolve some technical issues on my end. So I apologize for the technical issues, but just wanted you to know that the entire audio show is not nearly as rough as the first couple of minutes. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out ProWrestling.net Live on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 3 p.m. Central, 4 Eastern Time.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason. It's day two of our SummerSlam Live specials. Today, I will be joined by John Moore. I'll get him on the line here in just a minute. We will be taking your phone calls today by calling 738-9631. I want to give a thanks to Will Pruitt for joining me yesterday and putting up with some of my technical nonsense. And coming up, we're looking at Wrestling.net Live just with the name, but tomorrow's the only show live. It's going to be Aiden Gleed and Darren Gutterich will be getting together to discuss all things SummerSlam. So they're not ignoring your call. They're just not live, but you can check that 3 Central time as well, a little before. And then we're on SummerSlam Day. Zach Zimmer going to get Zach's going to be live of the NXT show, the takeover event on Saturday night at. And then he and I are going to do a, we'll do obviously a bit of a NXT discussion and certainly preview the Slam event that will be coming up that night. And then on Monday, the grand finale of our latest run, and really looking forward to this, guest analyst, SummerSlam analyst, just incredible, PJ Polacco, the former ECW champ of the world, is going to join me. And so we will be taking your phone calls on that show as well. So both, today, Slam Sunday, and we will be taking your phone calls, all those sharding it before Easter. Really hope you guys and spread the word. Love to hear from you. And it should be a good always a portion of the tape show. I enjoyed it. You guys do as well. Let me see if I can find our co-host here. I'm not seeing him yet in the studio. I'm guessing he'll be here shortly. Now we're off to a flying 6-1. Again, the number to join us today is 738-9632. We can certainly talk about WWE SummerSlam, the NXT show, the takeover events coming up on Saturday night. Honor, they have a big, they say, coming up tonight that they'll bring out there, I think, about 6 Central. And I'm guessing, they say it involves, and I'm guessing basically a repeat of the announcement that they had at one of their recent where Ring of Honor is going to Japan. Mistaken, I think. Put that out, already put aside, and it's something else. I'm not quite sure. I guess we'll all find out, right? But actually in Philadelphia, right? And there was headline, Ethel, strong for the ROH. Well, it's a remake. 1 hour all that showed New Japan talent. Tomorrow, they are in Brooklyn, head-to-head with good old JR. Mars, one man show. Oh, you take two. But is out there as well. I think tickets are still for his show in New York City. So if you're in the area, you don't have tickets to the NXT show, or you're just looking for something to do, JR's one man show is out there tomorrow night in the area. Let's see here if I can take a look. We've got our co you yet. I do not see. Oh, there he is, I believe. Double check. I'm making audio. But I'll feel much better once we get my guy on here. There he is, John Moore.
Yo, this is John. How am I sounding, by the way?
You sound rough on my end, but it's not choppy. And yep,
no, I know. And, and at the same time, you're coming in and out every other second.
Oh, well, you know, everybody is going to remember the chat room yesterday, and I forgot to open that, and people can. Know if there's some issues on my end, well, because that's always I kind of rely on you guys to help me out. So if you're listening live, the chat room is open. Whoa, what now?
You're sounding like this. Am I sounding normal, by the way? But at the same time, yeah, you're cutting off like every other several words.
Gotta love talk technology. It's just freaking phenomenal.
At the same time, you notice I didn't go in through my Skype because I don't see a Skype option on the Blog Talk Radio site for some strange reason.
Let's not bore them with all.
It's hard to listen.
John, while I try to set up on my end, why don't you tell me, let's dive into the big one here. Why don't you tell me your thoughts on the SummerSlam match? Just Chase, what do you think is happening with Brock Lesnar and Undertaker?
Okay, I'm assuming you said, let's start talking about Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. Okay, with that main event, what I do see is, this seems to be the general consensus of everyone. Lesnar kind of has to go over to look strong, and he would be, if there was an evil in this match, the lesser of two evils. It's not even evil. You need to make Lesnar look strong and look strong against an old and battered Taker, especially with the strange approach where he's doing these low blows to conquer the beast. At the same time, I don't see any possible positive coming out of Taker winning, especially with them giving Lesnar the streak anyway. Like, why, just in general, have Lesnar win? let's see, are we done with your audio issues?
Not, but I'm going to still figure out a solution here. Okay, so that one, let's go with the other big one. John Cena and Seth Rollins, and please take your time because I think I may have a solution, but it's going to take a minute. So go ahead and elaborate on who you think is what championship.
Of course, and no joke, I actually have a good little discussion piece about that. I actually was about to release a blog a day ago, but this week has been horrendously busy for me. As far as the Seth Rollins-Cena main event, I had so many different routes of how to approach this one, whether it has to win, Rollins win. My preferred excuse or my preferred outcome is actually the no contest, in order to have both allow Rollins a chance to continue as world champion. And I feel like we haven't really touched the surface of what he can do as champion. We haven't even reached that Hunter feud. At the same time, John Cena's U.S. Open challenges have been a huge mainstay on Raw the past, this entire year. I almost don't want to see that go away. What John Cena has said throughout the year is he wants, someday one person is going to beat him. I wonder how cluttered that's going to get if the world championship gets into the picture. At the same time, you're going to have Cena being an strenuous, extreme workhorse, handling both his U.S. title duties, which tends to be this very work-rate TV title, at the same time handle the main events. I'm almost wondering if they do hand Cena the world title, if he's just a transitional champion for Sheamus or somewhat. At the same time, that's why I would prefer that the title situation be separate like it is now. If we had to go with a solid winner, I believe John Cena should probably be the winner. And again, it's actually due to the fact that I actually want that U.S. title to remain on John Cena's hands and all the equity that he's built up into it in the last couple months to be transferred to a new up-and-comer, a established star who needs the boost, or just anyone in general. Let's see, I did try to ramble long enough. Let's see, are you back, Jason? I do wish I had the power to actually take calls now. Jason, feel free to cut in, and I'm guessing I'm solo hosting this for now, okay. I remember Will was in this situation yesterday, and he was just mumbling a little bit, and that's kind of what I'm doing now, just a little loudly. Let's see.
All right, John, how is this?
Woo! Okay, that sounds a lot better. I can hear your whole sentences.
All right, much better.
I dragged that Cena conversation long enough. Did you hear what I was saying?
Unfortunately, I did not. Give me the 10-second version of who you think is going over, so I'm up to speed on that.
No problem. And I tried stretching it. Maybe when you do your edits, just take out 1 minute of dead air. And I tried to keep non-dead air, but it was, you know, dead air nonetheless. What I was talking about was I thought the actual message, like, whatever keeps the U.S. title in John Cena's hand because of how great it's been the entire year, that would be the best solution. I actually would like a, you know, a no finish slash DQ because it keeps everything in the two places that they are at this moment. At the same time, if we had to have a clear-cut winner, I would have Cena win because it keeps the world, because he'll get the world title, and at the same time, it keeps the U.S. title in his hands so he can pass it on to someone who needs the boost based on all the equity he's built in that U.S. title. I hear an echo myself, by the way, this time. But
you hear an echo? That I can fix. That's an easy one. All right, we're almost on track here. There, that should be a little better, I hope.
I think this is good.
All right, yeah, this is, I would explain how this worked, but I would bore people with technical stuff, but long story short, I'm now on my phone line, and so the good news is, the bad news is the sound quality, well, it's better than it was. It's not as good as it was probably yesterday with the headset, but now that I'm on the phone, you won't have to hear the phone ring like yesterday when somebody decided to call me mid-show, as has been known to happen. All right, John, thank you for filling there for me. Hopefully it's a smooth sailing from here. The nice thing is tomorrow there should be no technical issues because that's a tape show. So watch somehow something happen with Blog Talk. But we love you, Blog Talk Radio.
Knock on wood. You're dealing with England, though. You know, I've had good conversations and podcasts with Hayden Gleed, you know, due to like our, you know, continuous TNA audio shows. But on the rare occasion, you know, like we always said, the ghost of James Storm invades. I don't know why it's the ghost of James Storm, but it's the ghost of James Storm somehow.
Wow. TNA. Well, I watched it last night. I sometimes I feel like I'm the only one watching. Well, I guess it was the other night now. Everything starts to run together after a while. It was Wednesday night.
Sometimes I feel like that when watching Lucha Underground. But Lucha Underground's a much better show than TNA, too. I don't know.
they're both on crap networks, but Underground's got the new network, at least. Well, I think they're both. I don't know how long Destination America's been around. I never paid any damn attention to it. Never even knew it existed until TNA moved there.
They got the barbecue grill masters and the hillbilly blood and all that stuff. It's actually pretty weird. Like, when you watch TNA and have to review the show, you have to like sit through all those like Real Masters, Ghosts, whatever commercials. It sometimes gets a little redundant and drives you a little bit crazy.
All right, well, you know, if we need to talk Destination America programming later, we certainly can. But I do want to give out the number again because it sounds like everything was choppy to start. The number, if you want to join us today, is 773-897-6321. I believe you hit *1. So if you're on hold and you're like, why aren't they taking my call? That's why. We will be going to our first caller in just a second. But actually, let's do that now. Let's, all right, everybody. Despite the train wreck that the first part of the show was, it's about to get worse. It's the one, the only, .NET member Rabbit. Rabbit, how are you today, my friend?
How are you doing today?
I was doing fine until the show started, and then people couldn't hear me. But sounds like everything's good now, Rabbit. What's up with you?
I had a question for John.
Yeah.
Hey, John, since you're in Berkeley, my question is, did you attend the Barb 50th anniversary celebration this month?
Are you talking about at People's Park?
Yeah, and that and the Berkeley Barbs held a big celebration this month.
I did not have the time to go to People's Park. By the way, if any people feel out of the loop, Rabbit is a Berkeley original, for one, and we do have discussions about the history of Berkeley. He's actually writing a book as we speak, I think, still. And no, I haven't been able to attend that. But maybe want to drag this into a pro wrestling direction, if possible.
Oh, okay. I just was wondering.
No, I haven't. I didn't go. Sorry about that. Busy video is busy up here, especially with pro wrestling.net stuff, too.
Yeah. Okay, back to pro wrestling.net. Now, from pro wrestling.net, my question is the John Cena match and the Undertaker match. The Undertaker match, I think you guys are right. I think, like, Lesnar all the way. But then again, But then again, you got Vince McMahon who makes his own choices. So logic can go out the window with him. And the second one, John Cena, as much as I hate to see him win titles, because Ric Flair, he'll never top Ric Flair. Ric Flair's had a better career than Cena. So, I mean, I don't care if they give him, if they give Cena 30 title reigns, he still won't compare to Ric Flair. But the point I'm making on that is, Seth Rollins has done a great job as champion. Why kill him off?
Well, the only thing I would say on that, and I'm not advocating it, is if they feel like, I'd rather see them get out front of ending a title reign than having it drag on to the point where people just start to get bored with it. I don't think they're there. I'm just saying there's a chance they could feel that way. Football season is looming, the regular season, where they'll be opposed by Monday Night Football. Their numbers are already down. They may look at this as, let's go back to the security blanket that is John Cena in time for football season. So, again, I'm not advocating this. I would like to see Seth Rollins retain his championship, and I've been saying they didn't go out of their way to tell us that there must be a winner. You know, they're telling us both titles are on the line, but they haven't said there must be a winner in this match. And so my guard is up in this one for a bit of a screwy finish, but we'll see. Anything else, Rabbit?
Yeah, I'd love to see a double countdown.
John, we haven't done this show weekly or anything, but we've done a lot of shows. I don't think I've ever heard the words, I'd love to see a double countout uttered on ProWrestling.net Live. Can you remember it, John?
No, of course not. But in this situation, I could, you know, see a double countout happen. Like I said, I said I would like to see a double disqualification or no contest. So in this unique situation, why not?
Hey, Rabbit, here's what I worry about. If we do get a double countout, double DQ, just some sort of screwy finish. I mean, it could be a single countout or DQ for that matter, and they can say, oh, title can't change on that. Do you think they're going to feel obligated then to pay this off at some point? Even if that's what they have in mind for Sunday, do you feel like at Night of Champions they're going to feel obligated to go back to that match and deliver a decisive winner in the title versus title feud?
Wouldn't they, if they did something like that, wouldn't they do it the next night on Monday like they always do?
It's possible. I mean, I guess it depends what the backlash is like. You know, they've got a little bit more of a comfort zone now being on the network. Yeah, there's still pay-per-view buyers out there. There's still, you know, we saw the backlash after the Royal Rumble last year canceled WWE Network. I don't think it would be, I'm not saying people in the building would be happy with that, with some sort of a cheap finish. I'm not even saying people watching would be, but I don't know if there's just, with the crowd that cares, that's most likely to get fired up and start a campaign like that. John, I tend to think those are the people who would just go, Seth Rollins won, or are you still the champion, and John Cena still keeps his title. That they're just going to be happy that Seth Rollins is still the world champion.
Exactly, and the reason also why we're going with Seth Rollins potentially losing is because he can absorb the loss, and at the same time, I feel like he has another title reign down the road sometime in the future, because he's not going to lose that top heel spot anytime soon, I assume. At the same time, I just came up with a different theory, in a way, was that instead of going with the double disqualification, we do go into the single disqualification route with actually, if they decide to go down the Hunter versus Rollins route, have Hunter hit Rollins and give Rollins a disqualification win, probably to say he's trying to ensure the interest of the authority or something. And then we get to that. The only downside I see with that is who's the babyface and heel in the situation, and I would rather see Hunter turn heel. But there's that something I just thought up, or maybe something that might have been going around.
I'd rather have Hunter be a babyface.
Exactly.
Okay, I thought you said you'd rather have him be heel. Maybe I heard
No. That's why I pulled back a little bit on it. It was more so like.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Because if he does go into the selfishness of the authority, that seems like kind of a heel thing. Rollins could always smarmy himself out of it anyways, But again, yeah, that's why I pulled out. That's the way the situation is. But at the same time, I can still see it happening. Because at the same time, WWE likes to keep Hunter a heel for some reason.
Rabbit, what else, bud?
Hey, John, what is your opinion of a major Lana versus Summer Rae fight happening at the pay-per-view?
I'm pretty sure the fight's going to happen. I'm not sure if it's going to be major or earth-shattering. At the same time, we've probably seen it enough already. What I'm actually looking forward into this confrontation is actually to see what Dolph and Rusev can produce. At the same time, Dolph's not going to change his character, so there's still a little bit of throwing hands up. But yeah, there is going to be a cat fight. But
will that have anything to do with the finish? Will the cat fight have anything to do with the finish? Will it be clean?
Rusev might turn his head around and Dolph gets a zigzag victory, maybe? Because Rusev has been taking losses as well. At the same time, if they do give Ziggler the low chance of him getting a victory, I really hope that he takes advantage of that somehow and keeps it away from this comedy mess. Even though what I hate about this feud is Rusev has been so good in the comedy role, but I still would rather have this be serious about wrestling and less about Lana and awkwardness and love triangle and fishes. Oh, but that flag is awesome. But yes,
that flag is amazing. Rabbit, is that it today?
Amazing.
Yeah, you guys all have a wonderful day.
Hey, thank you. It's always good to hear from you, Rabbit. And as much as we enjoy Rabbit's call, I take a big sigh of relief when it's over. He didn't say anything that I'm going to have to go back and edit out. He's still on top secret triple probation. And it was so far so good with Rabbit, but John, I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have to worry. Me being the guy that runs this thing, I get a little nervous every time Rabbit is on. I have to admit.
I kind of get nervous knowing that he knows exactly where I live in a way.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, how do you think I feel? He's talking about moving to my state.
Rabbit.
He lives in Michigan now, and he's looking at a couple of different places, I guess, in Minnesota, he said. And so I'm feeling a little bit nervous about this. Hey, before we get to our next call, I just want to give a quick recap because it sounds like the audio was so rough. Just a reminder that ProWrestling.net Live runs today through Monday, same time every day, 3 p.m. Central, 4 Eastern time. Tomorrow is the only show that is not live. However, it is Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed, the UK Invasion. The guys are getting together and discussing all things SummerSlam weekend. So they're not ignoring your phone calls. There's just, you're not going to be able to make phone calls because that is the only tape show. And then on Sunday, I get together with Zach Zimmerman. We'll be discussing the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn event, as well as getting you ready for WWE SummerSlam and taking your calls. And then on Monday, just incredible joins me. It's great to have a guest analyst for WWE SummerSlam. We'll be taking your calls coming out of that event, obviously discussing, looking ahead to Monday's Raw. And it should be a lot of fun. Just incredible. 3 p.m. Central, 4 Eastern time every day, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And hopefully you will be listening and, better yet, calling. If you want to join us, 773-897-6321 is the number. And up now, it looks like I'm going to go on a limb and guess, is this Kyle?
Yes, it is, Jason. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Kyle. What's on your mind?
I have a question regarding the whole Divas match at SummerSlam. I believe all those women can actually go in the ring. I was wondering, do you think they're going to present them in a way that's going to make them look strong, or are you going to make them a cluster, you know?
Well, I'm going to let John take. I'll let John start on that one.
Okay, at the same time, yes. All those women can go. And probably the person with the least ability to go is probably Tamina Snuka. But at the same time, wait, what was the question again?
So you're just,
I was willing to go, but then I just lost my train of thought. I just know that all these women can go.
They can all go.
Do you think they're going to book them? How is this going to go ahead during a match?
There we go. I'm not confident of WWE booking them correctly, only because it's been so strange. I'm hoping this is just the blow off to this whole trio's mess, so we can get back to them being individuals. I'm assuming it's going to be a blow off, possibly with the babyface team winning. If they really want to go with Sasha Banks, you know, getting a huge statement. They'll have, give her to win, but what I'm hoping for is someone to get the big win. It's most likely one of the new three NXT divas. I would like to call them what they're called, divas. And at the same time, I'm hoping this is a blow-off somehow.
Yeah, I think many of us feel that way. We just want this, the faction war to be over, and hopefully something happens where, I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know that it's going to completely happen here, but I'd like to at least see signs that, okay, that there's some issues between these women. And I do have to take issue with one thing you say. You said they can all go. I don't know about Tamina. She has not.
I said that too. I said she's
okay.
With Alicia Fox can really go, believe it or not. Like, she just doesn't get a chance to show it on the main roster sometimes. But yes, I agree with the Tamina thing.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, hey, I would love to see her break out. And I don't know if it's just, I don't remember her being this rough before the knee surgery. So maybe she's slow coming back. Not that she was ever, you know, a five-star classic waiting to happen. But she just, it seems like her work has been a little bit rougher since. And Kyle, what else today, bud?
I have one other question. I just want to say this before I ask it. I really enjoy being a .NET member. It's really worth the money every month. I just want to say that. Jason, you guys do a great job.
I really appreciate it. Your check is in the mail. You are going to some of these events this weekend, correct? You're in the New York area.
Right.
And which one are you going to on Saturday? You have to choose between Jim Ross and his...
Oh, NXT, that's not a joke.
Gotcha. You're going to the NXT show. You're one of the 13,000 strong. So tell me about the ticket process. I'm kind of curious. The thing sold out pretty quickly. Were you able to score good seats? Or, you know, when did you try to get these tickets?
I was fortunate. I have American Express. And with Barclay, if you have that, you get it a day earlier than even the WWE fans or the Barclay fan can get them. So you can get them earlier on Tuesday. So we got like fourth row tickets.
Really? Well, good for you. And what are you looking forward to most about that show?
The women's match, to be honest.
Yeah? So not even the ladder match. I mean, hey, I'm looking forward to the Bayley and Sasha Banks match as well. I mean, that's a heck of a 1-2 punch. And then you get Samoa Joe, and you get the full taping for the 90-minute special they're doing next week. Someone needs to alert the WWE Network schedule makers. I was just taking care of that for next week before the show started. And they still have it listed as a 60-minute show. So that means I get to go back and do a lot of editing to the schedule, which is never fun. But enough whining for me. What about it? What about the women's match? That has you looking forward to that more, even more so than the ladder match between Finn Balor and Kevin Owens?
The consistency of every takeover, I feel like the match of the night is always the women's match that they end up stealing the show. That's what everybody talks about after the show is over.
And then you're also going to SummerSlam on Sunday, I assume?
Yes.
And what about that? Is there something in particular about that, or is it just the whole SummerSlam package? What stands out to you when it comes to SummerSlam?
The match I'm looking forward to is Owens and Cesaro, because I just think it's going to be amazing, but I just always look forward to SummerSlam. It's my favorite pay-per-view throughout the year.
And one more question for you. I know you call in to ask us questions, but you're going to the event, so I'm kind of leaning on you just for a little feedback from someone who's going to these shows. In this case, I kind of have this weird, it's not even a theory. I find it interesting that Kevin Owens is working both shows. One night he's challenging for the NXT Championship. The next night he is going for, or he's just working Cesaro. If you see Owens win that championship on Saturday, on Sunday, is your guard going to be up for him winning or losing against Cesaro?
To be honest, Jason, in that type of matchup, I don't think I'd be even thinking about the title, because I don't believe they're going to have him come out with the NXT title.
Well, that's possible. We saw Sasha Banks. I was at that Raw on Monday, and they did bill it as a Divas champion against NXT champion, yet we only saw the Divas championship. We did not see the NXT Women's Championship. We have seen Kevin Owens bring that title around before, but you could be right there. Well, did you have more for us? I really appreciate what you had to say about membership. I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, I just have one more question. And it's
regarding
a call-up. Would you guys prefer an NXT call-up on Monday and you guys pick whoever you would be, or do you prefer them not to call anyone up at all?
John, why don't you start with that one?
Yes. I don't, actually with NXT the way it is, I would prefer NXT stay intact right now. I don't think we need another call-up going into what sometimes ends up being the dull season of pro wrestling after SummerSlam. You know, usually a better spot for it is around maybe Royal Rumble time or after WrestleMania time. So if I had a choice of that matter, maybe, you know, if you can hit the reset, okay, no. But if Bayley's winning that championship, I do not see her getting called up. That is a tough one. But again, my ultimate answer is I would prefer not to call up a NXT roster member during this upcoming winter season.
You're not getting off the hook that easily. Vince McMahon is putting his foot down, and in this make-believe world, you work for Vince McMahon, and he says, that's all well and good, John, but I'm calling somebody up, and you're picking who it is. Who are you telling Vince to call up?
Okay. No, and if Vince told me that, I'll say, bring up Samoa Joe. Why not?
There you go.
He's been so in the business so long, and he can go and look at his merch sales. You like merch sales, Vince.
good answer.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Joe is right. For me, it's between Joe and Finn Balor. And I, like you, I think I would argue a little bit that, hey, can we hold off on this? Because if you want to call up one or the other, how about we get something out of their feud in NXT first? And Vince would probably go that NXT doesn't matter compared to what we're doing on the main roster. But I would still at least try, in a perfect world, if I'm in NXT, I'm lobbying for that. I'm trying to keep both guys there because I do think there's money in a Samoa Joe Finn Balor feud. But if Balor seems to be the guy they've really hitched the NXT wagon to. He's the guy saying publicly, and I'm shocked that this doesn't develop heat and that Hunter's not kind of telling him, hey, you know, think it, don't say it. But he's the one saying publicly that he wants to stay. He's very happy. He feels like he has more to accomplish in NXT. And as a guy in his mid-30s, I'm kind of surprised he's not a little bit more anxious to get up to the main roster. So just knowing that, I say Joe, because I'd really like to see Samoa Joe and John Cena set up for WrestleMania. I know there's a lot of speculation it could be John Cena and Undertaker. That match doesn't appeal to me as much as I talked about yesterday, just because the streak isn't there anymore. You do the match, I'm going to be excited about it. But it's not as appealing as it once was for me. I'd really like to see, especially if John Cena still, and maybe it's something they could even do this on Monday. John Cena is still the U.S. champion, whether it's both titles or just that title. And they do an open challenge, and my God, it's Samoa Joe. I'd rather see it saved for the big stage at WrestleMania, but that's when I think you can make money with Samoa Joe right now. I don't know how realistic it is. I mean, he's working Baron Corbin on Saturday. It's not, he's on the main card. He's on the televised card that'll be part of the live special, but I wish it was a little bit more. Does that answer your question, Kyle?
Yes, thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you, and I really do appreciate that plug. And speaking of, it is time to tell you about the ProWrestling.net $1 for 1 month membership special. Take advantage of this. This is the second special we've done this year. We're not, as I keep saying, we're not like Kohl's or some of those department stores where every day everything's on sale, and it's like, you save $50 on this T-shirt. Like, really, the T-shirt at one time was $65? But anyway, we don't do these specials often, and the ProWrestling.net Live, in part, is to try to bring some awareness to this. $1 for 1 month. If you're not interested, if it's just like, yeah, it's not for me, whatever the case may be, take advantage of this. It's a buck, and there's no strings attached. At the end of your month, cancel and move on, and all you spent was $1, and you enjoyed ad-free access to ProWrestling.net. Members, this weekend, we'll be hearing Zach Zimmerman and Darren Gutteridge get together on Sunday morning to discuss the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn special. They will also hear Jake Barnett and I get together on Sunday night for the SummerSlam audio review. This week alone, the Pretentious Pro Wrestling Podcast with Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt. I got together with Jake for the .NET Weekly Audio Show, which is our flagship show. We ran through both the SummerSlam and NXT shows, offered our official predictions on those shows. on Monday. Actually, it was on Tuesday this week. I did the Raw audio review. Normally, that's a Monday night show, but because I was actually at Target Center, that got bumped to Tuesday. But normally, shortly after Raw is done, you get my audio take on Raw. All the major pay-per-views covered, and then most of the major television shows, Zach Zimmerman's NXT review. Darren and Hayden oftentimes get together to review Ring of Honor, or one of the two usually covers the Ring of Honor show in audio form, and much more. The Millennials with Attitude podcast, where Zach and Will and Will's wife, Christy, get together and have some fun looking back at one of the old Attitude era Raws with a millennial perspective. And that's a good time as well. So tons of audio content. And I mentioned the $1 for 1 month price. If you want to lock yourself in, you can save yourself a lot of money. 6 months is just $27. It's $12 off of our usual price. Annual membership, $45. You can save $21 if you take our annual option. All you have to do, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. If you're listening live, it's probably the second story from the top of the page right now. And you'll see ProWrestling.net membership sale, $1 for 1 month in the headline, right there with the rest of the news. You can probably see it in the must-read section as well if you're checking out the website. And you will see a coupon code. For the 1 month, it's $2015. For the 6 months, $2015 6 months. And for the annual, $2015 annual. Use that coupon code when you go to the .NET member sign-up page, and it's a very simple process. You can be in and out of there quickly and enjoy all the perks of membership. Again, the ad-free version of the site. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can get those perks of membership right there on your phone. And so you can listen to all of our audio content, all the past interviews we've done. We do not remove audio. So anything we've done in the history of the member site is available to you guys. There's a ton of audio content available and much more. There's a members forum. The members are placing their bets on the SummerSlam and NXT show in something called the B-Bookie. And no, I'm not running an illegal game. Gambling operation. I wish I was, because I'm sure I'd make a lot of money doing it, but it's just for .NET dollars. It's all in good fun, but I do set odds on all the matches, and you can see how you can perform there, having some fun with that, and much more. Again, membership rates as low for this month only. Not even this month, just for, like, I'm trying to think, by this time next week, this special is going to be done. $1 for 1 month of .NET membership. Again, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net, and you will get hooked up. And I'm trying to think if there. Oh, I also want to give a quick shout out to our friends over at MyFantasyLeague.com. I've been using their service now for years, and they do a great job. If you've got a difficult fantasy football league where, you know, you score everything under the sun, I'm 99% sure that they can accommodate you. They do a great job over there. So visit MyFantasyLeague.com, and definitely if you come in contact with anybody over there, let them know I told you about it. Good guys over there. They have a great service, and you can get apps and all that good stuff. So check it out, MyFantasyLeague.com. All right, enough shilling, enough plugging. Let's get back into this. John Moore, I talked to you about the big two SummerSlam matches. Now I want to talk to you about what I consider to be the big two NXT matches. Is this Bayley's time?
At the same time, I would at least possibly like one more match between the two if we can get one out of them. This most likely does seem like Bayley's time, and that she is going to secure the NXT Divas title, women's title. At the same time, what I hope as the aftermath to this is that this is almost similar to Sami Zayn's title reign, where she gets a short title reign, possibly losing to Emma if they could build up Emma and or Dana Brooke powerful enough to top her quickly. And because I believe at the same time, Bayley works extremely well in chase mode and has that sympathetic baby face that people get behind. But I do see this as possibly a passing of the torch to Bayley for the moment.
I'm happy to hear you say that, because now I don't feel so alone. For a while there, I thought I was going to be like the only person who would be happy if Bayley didn't win in here. Because I've said she's worked hard, and she really should be on the main roster right now. And I know that a lot of people who have been watching NXT for a long time are ready for this payoff. And so if they give it on Saturday and she wins that title, then God bless her. You know, I think it's going to be cool. But it has been part of me for a long time saying that I don't know that I want her to win a championship until she gets to the main roster, and then it's another long chase or a long build where, you know, you just kind of repeat what happens in NXT. And then finally, someday on the big stage at WrestleMania, the lovable underdog finally wins. You know, but as I have also said, as long as, whenever she does get to the main roster, I just don't want them to refer to her as a former NXT Women's Champion. You don't have to lie about it, but just tell that story over again. Really introduce her the same way you did in NXT. It went very well there. And then the big one is the ladder match. Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, I think, believe it or not, Brian Fritz, he watches about as much Japanese wrestling as I do. I think he watched the January 4th show, so not much more than that. Maybe I'm underselling it, but he figured out that somehow this is Finn Balor's first ladder match. John, that shocks me. It's certainly not Kevin Owens' first ladder match, for anyone who's watched Kevin Steen and Ring of Honor knows. But even though this is the first for Finn Balor, I'm expecting this to be a hell of a match, and I'm curious to know who you think is going to come out on top.
Okay, at the same time, I do watch Japanese wrestling on occasion, not as continuously as a lot of people do, but I do watch it as much as I can, like the G1 Climax tournament and stuff like that. But yes, it is interesting to hear that this is Balor's first ladder match. At the same time, in Japan, they don't rely too much on gimmicks, so I understand how he could have avoided it after so many years in New Japan. At the same time, I think the logical answer is for Finn Balor to win this one. Kevin Owens gets snooty about everything and just jacks the title, starts claiming he's the new, you know, he's the true champion due to it being so close between the two. That's actually how I see it going. And it would play into all of the swerving that he's been doing on the taping circuit.
I'm with you. I do believe that we're going to see Balor win the retain the championship here. There's some flexibility, though, and the thing that's great about NXT is they've caught me off guard with almost every champion they've had going back to Big E. Big E wins the championship, and it's like, oh, Big E's going to be around in NXT for a while. Wait, no, he's not. Called up. Neville had a run with it. Bo Dallas. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter that much if you have a championship, as we're seeing right now with Sasha Banks. Kevin Owens, same thing, called up to Raw while he was the NXT champion. And so as much as we look at it and go, well, just, you know, Kevin Owens is the main roster guy, it doesn't have to play out that way. In this case, I think it will, but I do believe that, you know, they've established now, and I'm surprised more people don't talk about that, well, it doesn't have to work that way. There's not that firm separation. If they want someone from the main roster to win an NXT championship, they can. They won't be on all the live events, but it's pretty easy for those guys. It's tough for them, but it's pretty easy for the company to assign them to go work the NXT television tapings and the quarterly live specials. And they tape once a month or so. It's not that much to ask, really, because they have that flexibility where guys can bounce back and forth between the two rosters. I want to give open phone lines at last check. I don't want to say that and have somebody go, wait, I'm on hold. You can join us right now by calling 773-897-6321. I kind of figured this would be the light phone call day because, after all, it's Friday. People are going to their cabins and going out for happy hour and doing all sorts of fun things. But if you're out there listening, you can get in quickly by calling 773-897-6321. If you are listening live going, hey, why aren't you taking my call? Hit *1, and then we know you want to join us on the line, and we would love to chat. SummerSlam, well, NXT, Ring of Honor, all that good stuff. Whatever you want to talk about, as long as it involves pro wrestling and not where John lives, we're your guys. John, Ring of Honor, I didn't really talk about them yesterday. They're in Philadelphia tonight with that Jay Lethal, Roderick Strong rematch for the ROH title, and then they're in Brooklyn for their big stadium show. And unfortunately, because we've got our hands full with SummerSlam and NXT, but no iPay-per-view action here. These shows will be, at least I think, the Brooklyn show available on video on demand at some point. And tonight's is listed as a television taping. They have the New Japan talent in. The other match that really jumps out at me is Adam Cole against Nakamura. That should be fantastic. But Lethal Roderick Strong, are you expecting a title change here, knowing that, well, Jay Lethal has two titles right now? He has the TV title and the ROH title, or do you think that's something they save for down the road to get one of those belts off him?
I actually think that they're going to probably, Jay Lethal walks out as champion somehow due to the fact that they seem to be very patient with Jay Lethal trying to build him up to be, you know, the credible champion that they've been doing for several years ever since he was Black Machismo, you know, in the other company. He, yeah, that's why I've, again, we will get a great match due to Roddy being around, but I feel like they're going to stay patient and keep the title on Jay Lethal.
We do have a Twitter question. You can follow me at ProWrestlingNet, and you can follow John. Where can they follow you at? I tend to forget.
That's at a little John M. That's LiljohnM. I've been tweeting a lot on Tough Talk recently. I don't watch the main show, but Tough Talk has been a pretty interesting show to me.
You don't watch Tough Enough, but you watch Tough Talk. How does that work?
I gave up on, like, after 2 weeks, I was like, you know, like, this is kind of, like, tough to stomach down for some reason. So, but Tough Talk has been pretty interesting. Like, you had Miz, like, rocking it for a while. Miz is still doing good. He cut that awesome promo against CZ this past Tough Talk. Yeah, it's been more entertaining than the main show, believe it or not. Have I been missing out on the main show Tough Enough? I can catch clips on YouTube. I think that's enough.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just you're kind of seeing it out of order. That's why it just kind of threw me off. But no, I prefer Tough Talk as well. I mean, especially if you go back to that first episode, and it was just night and day when Miz was hosting. I liked it more when Miz was the host, but he's definitely shook things up as far as the judging is concerned. And if Amanda wins on Tuesday, she can thank Miz for it, because he definitely has kept her around a couple of times. Immediately using a save at one point and then swerving Paige into nominating somebody else because she thought that Miz was going to nominate Amanda. That's why that was a brilliant move by him. That really, it just did. I don't think it's received much attention. I thought he played her, and I think he played her so well that she didn't freak out about it as much. I don't know that she realized that's what he was doing. I think she thought, oh, no, he legitimately changed his mind. I think he completely swerved her. But that I mentioned we had a Twitter question. I hope I don't butcher his name. Matthew Cordner from Amsterdam, Holland. He's listening live right now, and he wants to know, John, who will Undertaker wrestle in his retirement match, and when will that be?
It's most likely going to happen at this upcoming WrestleMania. But I haven't put too much thought into it, only thinking that they were handing it to John Cena, because that's the match they've never gone to. And also the reason why I would go with the Cena match is I do not want to see the Sting versus Undertaker match, especially as a retirement match. If they so happen to go with Sting versus Taker as this this spectacle in the making, I almost feel like for Taker gets one more year out of this if they do go with Sting and Taker at Mania, and his WrestleMania retirement match will probably be against John Cena a year from now.
I've been saying that I think there's a chance that it is 32. It's in Texas. Granted, he looks better physically than he did when he faced Brock Lesnar at the when they met at WrestleMania. I thought he looked better physically at this past WrestleMania as well, but he looks good. And I know he's working the tour in Mexico. It was a surprise to see him work SummerSlam. I've had people ask, you know, is this kind of the grand finale? I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised with WrestleMania 32 being in his home state of Texas if that is the end of the line. And it plays into my prediction for Sunday, which is that Brock Lesnar wins simply because Undertaker is going away. It's an easy out for them. It's an easy decision if Undertaker is retiring at WrestleMania 32, because then you don't have to worry. People are going. You bill it as Undertaker's last ride. You make it clear this is his final match, and that's it. You know, I mean, it's that simple. And that way, if he loses on Sunday to Brock, people aren't worrying about that. They're just going, wow, the end of Taker. You start playing all those videos from the streak before they ruined it, and all the just great things Taker's done over the years. People are going to want to see that, even if he loses to Brock. If I'm missing the boat on that, and he is going beyond this year's WrestleMania, Matthew, my guess Well, I don't even have one. I mean, if he's not hanging them up in his home state in front of 100,000 people, then I guess he just keeps going and he takes it on a case by case basis. The Sting thing is intriguing. It's not a great match on paper, but I don't know that Brock is either. Taker feels more comfortable working with Brock than he does Sting, I think. But they were certainly talking about it at last year's Mania. Sting and Taker, that is. It may be one of those things where, yeah, Taker talks with Sting about, yeah, it'd be great. And then, like, when it's time to discuss, all right, you know, what do you want to do at Mania, if he even has that conversation, it's not dictated to him. Not Sting. You know, it might be one of those things he says, you know, it's like, pat your buddy on the back, but when push comes to shove, last match, going out there with another guy around the same age that works as even less frequently than he does. I don't know. Cena does seem like a safe pick. I'd like to see Seth Rollins and Undertaker. I know it's not the big question mark of who's going to win, but Rollins can give him a hell of a match. And I think if it's Taker's last ride, that's the important thing. You want to send him out in grand fashion, and you want to give him the best match possible. And I think Seth Rollins, assuming he's not the champion at that time, I think is a great candidate to do that. So that is my official prediction. But I don't know what they're thinking. Let's see.
But let me cut in for a second.
Yeah, go for it.
If they did, like, just to reiterate, if they did go with Sting, like, what kind of story can they build out of that? Like I say, if they did go with Sting, it almost has to be another year, because I don't see Undertaker's final match being against Sting. If you were going to build it against Sting, it would be this untapped a matchup. And at the same time, Sting will have to lose at WrestleMania. It doesn't work with Sting. I would rather see Sting.
Well, he lost at last year's WrestleMania.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. he could absorb the loss or whatever.
It's one of those matches where, I mean, I think Sting should have won last year regardless.
Of course.
I didn't like that finish. I know there's people that enjoyed all the DX NWO stuff. I wasn't one of them. It wasn't what I was expecting from that match. I've even heard Steve Austin say on his podcast that he thinks it was necessary. That those guys didn't have another gear to go to, or at least Sting didn't. I thought they were doing just fine. A couple more near falls, the people were into it, a couple more near falls, and you're fine. You know, I don't know that they needed to go to another gear. I think people were into that. So I would have had Sting go over, especially if he's going to work Taker. That you want to establish that this guy, to your big audience, means something. I still think all it would take, and I've said this for years, the less they say, the better. I don't, you know, with them both being baby faces, I'm not sure, but if Monday night, if Undertaker's standing in the ring for a promo, or maybe he doesn't even have to say anything, he's coming out there for a promo, and all of a sudden Sting's music hits, and he points the bat at Undertaker, and somehow, now they don't have the WrestleMania banner there yet, so that was always the scenario. Mania season, he points the bat at Taker, and then he points up at the Mania banner. If there's a way to do something along those lines, no words needed, fans would pop huge. They're not going to worry about what the match quality is going to be like. They're not going to worry about any of that. They're just going to be fired up going Icon versus Icon, dream match. It's not going to be the level of excitement that it would have been a few years ago or, you know, earlier in these guys' career, but that match has been in demand for so long. It's faded, John, but I mean, we still get questions about it, so there's still interest in that match.
Yeah, but like I said, that's going to be a good Icon versus Icon match. I do not see that being Taker's last match and billing it as such. Just how do you do it? The WCW guy, again, going down that route? I know. So
no, absolutely not. I don't, that's the thing. I don't think you have to make it about anything. If it's Taker's last match, then I think you do need some kind of a story there explaining why it's Taker's last match or something. Maybe Taker loses to Brock on Sunday, and then he's out there ready to give the retirement speech, and Sting says, wait a minute. I don't have a great story in mind, because I really don't sit around and think about this match, because I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, let's see what they do on Monday. I mean, they know they're going to have a big audience. There's already buzz that Monday is going to be a big show. I don't know exactly what they'll do. Taker's not even officially advertised, but I don't think it means much because obviously he's in the area and the show is sold out. So he doesn't need to be advertised. He may not be there. I mean, it's Taker. A lot of times he goes away and he doesn't show up at the day after WrestleMania either. So all this may be about nothing, but I just know people. There's a lot of people out there that still have a strong desire to see that match, even though it doesn't look great on paper and there's a lot of question marks about it. We got an email question from Mark Sherry. This one, I'm looking at it, I don't know the answer, but I have a horrible memory, John. Maybe you can help me out. Have they ever done a double pin in a title versus title match?
A double pin with both shoulders on the ground.
Right.
For some reason, I feel like this has happened before. I can't think what. It might have been like with the hardcore and European title, for all we know. But at the same time, I do not. I don't recollect what this might have happened in. It might have done with the IC title back in the day somehow with like Jericho in China. I don't know.
I've seen that finish, obviously. I'm struggling to think if it's ever been title versus title. And it's obviously, I assume this relates to Rollins and John Cena. And it's we don't know the answer, Mark, but I think it's an interesting question that he follows up with and how that could play in here on Sunday. I don't think this is what they're going with, but you never know. He said, if so, what happened? And then he says, if not, what do you think happens? Title trade. So if Rollins pins Cena and Cena pins Rollins, do they swap titles? How would that work, John?
Remember, at the same time, I really, really hope that doesn't happen because my whole reason with keeping the U.S. title on Cena is that the U.S. title stays on Cena. Cena has been doing great promos of saying that someday some up-and-comer is going to beat me for this title. I feel like you switched the two. You almost hit the reset button with Cena back in the world title picture. And what does Rollins do? He's like, whoa, I'm left with the U.S. title. I'm going to start holding open challenges, maybe. I don't see the title switch happening to you.
It would be creative, not in a great way. It would be something that nobody other than Mark would apparently see coming. With the authority there, that's the tricky part. I would think both guys would just keep the title, but this is wrestling. They can, in a situation like that, they can go with whatever ruling they want. When you have this is the one area where the heel authority figure, if the world title is more valuable, obviously, than the U.S. title, then they come up with some cockamamie ruling about how, it's not even cockamamie. It's just, it's a draw in that case. And so both guys keep their titles. That's an interesting one, though.
And going into that, I actually can see that happening with the next pay-per-view being Night of Champions, correct?
Yes, it is, absolutely.
If you want to get, it probably would have been in their best interest to hold out for this title versus title match until Night of Champions because you have the whole marquee of champion versus championship. At the same time, I almost don't want to see that happen in the sense that it continues the Cena versus Rollins feud, and I kind of want to see Cena possibly head towards the route of possibly passing this U.S. title and Rollins developing a next huge feud possibly against Hunter or something.
And Mark, first off, thanks for the question, and second, that's pretty interesting because the more I think about it, I think it could, without seeming like a BS decision, be ruled a draw. Both guys, shoulders are on the mat, so it's not that they swap titles, it's just that the match is ruled a draw. A lot of speculation that this match was inspired by Jay Lethal and Roderick Strong having their champion or title versus title match at a recent Ring of Honor pay-per-view that Jay Lethal or Jay Briscoe. My apologies. Jay Lethal, Jay Briscoe on a recent pay-per-view, and Jay Lethal ended up winning both titles. And so if WWE was inspired by that, I don't know how they would go about doing this as far as what they have in mind. But I think it's an interesting finish and something to keep an eye on. They're not going to go 60 minutes. That's where I was going with Strong. Lethal and Strong had a match that went 60 minutes on iPay-per-view. And WWE doesn't even do time limits. So if they want to have a draw, but they don't want to have a time limit, that's a way to do it. That's a really interesting idea. So well done, Mark. I don't know if that's going to be the finish, but I like the creativity there. Quick note, WWE SmackDown viewership numbers are in. 2.434 million viewers, which is up big time from the 2.083 million viewers from last week. Last week was way down, though. So I think they're about back to where they were the week before. So it sounds like a great increase for the SummerSlam go-home show, but it's really kind of back in the range of where it was. I don't think I think people were all fired up to see preseason football a week before because that was the first non-Hall of Fame game. It was the first regular preseason game that they had on Thursday night for NFL Network. And this time around, I think people, once they see preseason, go, oh, yeah, that's kind of dull. And but this time around, it didn't help, I don't think, with all due respect to fans from these markets, the Cleveland Browns and Washington Redskins were the Thursday night game, I believe, on ESPN. So I'm sure it did numbers, but I don't know that it did as well. That part I'm not even sure. But SmackDown up heading into SummerSlam weekend. And then I just want to make sure, all right, just if... yeah, we're going to cut off any potential calls here and wrap it up here shortly. But, John, I do want to fly through and get a couple of other predictions on the SummerSlam show from you. We'll go in kind of rapid-fire order here so we can get the show done in a timely manner. Who wins, Rusev Ziggler?
Easy answer would be Rusev. I would like Dolph Ziggler to possibly sneak out a win. I just don't feel confident that if Dolph Ziggler got a win, that they would take advantage of it, and they would actually bog it down in comedy and fishes and dogs and stuff. But and the whole Lana versus Summer Rae thing, which has been entertaining, don't get me wrong. And at the same time, I see that the safe answer would be Rusev going over, crushing Ziggler. At the same time, Ziggler has been gone, but yeah, I go with Rusev.
I think no matter who wins there, it sets the stage for either the mixed tag or just another single match between the two. That's
exactly
the thing. Randy Orton, Sheamus, please, for the love of God, don't let this set the stage for yet another match between these guys. Let this be the end of this program for at least 3 years. Who wins, John?
Randy Orton wins. We'll see it in 2 weeks in SmackDown.
And does Sheamus do anything? Is there any Money in the Bank tease on Sunday night? Or even cash in, for that matter?
It's totally possible with this whole unique title versus title situation. You might set up a triple threat match somehow between the three at Night of Champions if Sheamus wins. And you could actually quickly take the title off him. It would just be like a short like flash in the pan. But maybe. I don't see it likely, but maybe. You know, Sheamus loses, it goes into a pattern of having the Money in the Bank guy lose and eventually win the world title. So I don't see it out of the question.
And then we have, who wins the, are you going with the celebrity Stephen Amell Neville against Stardust King Barrett?
Yes, I think the most likely is, Green Arrow going over. At the same time, I post this in the forum, I would, you know, because they also have Jon Stewart there to be their, like, their almost over celebrity to sort of run the show, wouldn't it be creative to get the supervillain Stardust over as like a comic book supervillain if they have him pin Stephen Amell and then have that quest continue of Neville trying to avenge the Arrow's sort of demise for the moment?
The tricky part is I talked about it yesterday. I don't remember if it was Daniel Bryan's book or what it was. It was an interview. Somebody saying that, I think it was a Big Show piece, that when we have a celebrity come in, the celebrity wins. Now, Stephen Amell's a huge fan. Maybe he'd see some value in that. I'm just going to go with the safe pick
and
history.
And let me add something to that. The only reason, and another reason that had me going towards that direction is we had that whole thing of Triple H going, you're getting in over your head. You're a civilian. You shouldn't be in such a match. That put me in the direction of the possibility of Stephen Amell getting pinned.
I would like to see it if they had Amell. Well, if they have Amell lined up if he's willing to do more and they want to do more with him, I think my guess is he's willing to do more. There's been a little bit of pushback internally about using him in the first place, and so I just don't know. But it'd be interesting. Who wins a tag title match? And remember, go brief on these.
Of course, a New Day. New Day for the sake that we get more bragging because I feel like we didn't get of as much of entertaining, hilarious promos as we could have out of their last championship run. And the primetime players have been doing well. Like they've been building or Titus has been building himself very well. But I see New Day, Big E's clap, and Kofi's prancing winning the tag team titles.
The Wyatts against the Shield, kind of. It's Wyatt, Harper, Reigns, Ambrose.
Yeah. If we did have to get Sting interfering, I feel like this would be the moment. Have him go towards this direction. At the same time, I would like to see the Wyatt, at least the current Wyatt family winning, maybe with the help of Eric Rowan, if possible. Leading to maybe some sort of faux Shield versus Wyatt family match down the road.
And Cesaro and Kevin Owens?
Will Cesaro finally get his win? Because Kevin Owens will be working a grueling ladder match. So he has an out if they decide to give Cesaro the quote huge SummerSlam win finally. Because, and you could bill it as such, this is his huge win over a major pay-per-view, even though he did win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. But you can also bill it again that he went over the top at SummerSlam against a very tough opponent.
And last one, because we covered the big two at the beginning of the show, who wins the IC title, Ryback, Big Show, Miz?
Ryback makes the most sense. It didn't seem like they were going away from this, and this is sort of the match we were supposed to be getting, was it last month? We know Miz is not winning, unless they could always rewrite things, and I feel like Miz might be able to do some pretty entertaining stuff with the title, being the heel, dodging several giants and all that. But I see Ryback going over, no question, and continue the train of Feed Me More.
All right. Well, hey, everybody follow John at Lil John M. LILJOHNM. You can follow him on Twitter. Check out his work on ProWrestling.net as well. John, thank you so much for calling in and co-hosting the show today.
No problem. It was a pleasure doing this with you. Despite all right, the technical problems at the beginning.
yeah, it was a rocky start, but I definitely appreciate you carrying me through that as I scramble to get things better technically than they were. So again, everybody, thank you to John, and thank you to everybody who, the couple of callers we had today, like I said, I knew today was going to be the light one on Friday, as people are out enjoying one of the last weekends of summer, and it's going to be a fun weekend, though. Live coverage from Zach Zimmerman on Saturday night of the NXT show, starting with the pre-show. As I've said many times, nobody follows NXT closer than Zach Zimmerman that I know of. You can get great coverage and analysis from Zach on Saturday night of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, and members will hear his audio review of the show in detail with Darren Gutteridge on Sunday morning. And then Zach is going to be my co-host on Sunday when we return live with ProWrestling.net Live. Same time, 3 Central, 4 Eastern. Your calls will be welcome in that show. Sunday night, my live coverage review of WWE SummerSlam 2015. Beginning with the pre-show, no kickoff match announced, so we'll see if they throw something out there or if they just give us an hour of yapping. But either way, I'll be starting my coverage with that. And, of course, I actually began earlier with Zach here on the ProWrestling.net live show. But as far as print coverage, right there on the website at ProWrestling.net, 5 Central, I believe, is when the pre-show is scheduled to begin, and certainly SummerSlam at 6. It should be a lot of fun, and then live coverage of Raw on Monday as well. Don't forget to check out ProWrestling.net. Not quite live, not exactly live, I think is what we're calling it, on Saturday. You can hear the British Invasion of Hayden Gleed and Darren Gutteridge as they discuss all things SummerSlam weekend. I'm looking forward to listening to the rest of the show. I've already heard part of it is a tape show, so don't try calling in, or if you do, just, you can listen at the normal time on your phone, but if you're going, hey, I want to ask a question, why can't it? Because it's not live. But we will be back live on Sunday and again on Monday when my co-host is going to be guest SummerSlam analysis analyst, I should say. Just incredible, the former ECW champion of the world and former member of the X Factor tag team, and the list goes on and on. It's going to be really good to talk with Justin. And I know Scott Hall, I saw, invited him to a Click reunion that they're having this weekend. Hopefully it doesn't interfere with Monday's show, but maybe we'll get a little bit of insight because it certainly seemed like PJ Polanco, Just Incredible, was looking forward to taking Scott up on that offer. So maybe we'll get some stories from PJ about that. But that is going to do it for today. Thank you, everybody, for whether you listened live or you listened on delay. And thank you to everybody who's taking advantage of that ProWrestling.net membership special. Find the details on the main page at ProWrestling.net. It is intended for new and returning members. And again, if you are an existing member and you're like, I'm still going to take advantage of it, okay, fine. But just do us all a favor and cancel your existing membership so that you don't get double billed. All right, everybody, thank you again. I will be back on Sunday. So until then, take care.